I thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting for this morning. Thank you for the work of your spirit in our church. Thank you for every heart here this morning. Receive your word. Thank you. Eyes are open. Clarity. Search your work. And your will is received in every heart. Everyone talks. Everyone feels clarity. With the spirit of joy and precision in the things of the spirit. Everyone refreshed. Everyone renewed. Everyone tuned much more accurate, much more sensitive in our heart to the things of the Spirit. We ask and receive these as a church. Now walk in your salvation. Every man will be able to see, to minister the same things as you do in amongst us, the body, world at large. Receive these in the name of the revelation, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So welcome you to church this morning. As I was saying, 2 Timothy is our text this morning. 2 Timothy. Glory to God. So we're looking at salvation. And then some 30 minutes after, or 45 minutes, there about, I think she was making 45 minutes, we'll have a session of our Bible seminar. Praise God. Okay. So, in 2 Timothy 3, it says in verse 15, are we all there now? It says, and from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, you are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Amen. Hebrews. So we said, the Scripture is built on salvation and the plan of God. Or God's plan, and salvation fulfills that plan. The Scripture is built on the plan of God, and salvation fulfills that plan. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So what have we said? What are we yet to say? What have we said on salvation? Said salvation is through faith, right? Good. A man has got to believe. A man has got to believe. We said Jesus is the Savior. Say that. In Hebrews chapter 1, he says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, someone say himself, it is poured, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on earth. Now, obviously, he didn't say Jesus poured our conduct. Amen. He said he purged our sins. Now, you know, a major dilemma in Bible teaching concerning salvation, concerning sins, is that many Christians, I'm not going to talk about it now, just mention it, because giving us an intro. Many Christians are not able to distinguish between conduct of sin, are we together, and what Jesus dealt with on the cross. Your way to go. Because, so, you know, because the question is, did Jesus die for the conduct of sin? Just leave it somewhere in your text, in your notes, as a question. Okay? Okay? Alright. Because you're able to distinguish. So that's why sometimes when they see a Christian who had done something wrong, there's a dilemma. You see, a Christian who had done something wrong, a child of God who had done something wrong. So there's a dilemma in the heart. You're wondering. I thought Christ has defeated sins.
Somebody, I thought Christ has divided seas, but how come I am sailing or I sink? He says, Jesus took away our sins. So, do you find it difficult, or they find it difficult, to have that reality settled in their heart when you say things like, Jesus has forgiven sins. We even say, Jesus has forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and what? Future. So, as you say, how can he forgive our future sins? Don't say, it is not yet sin until I sin it. Well, that is true. But when we say, Jesus has forgiven our sins, past, present, future, what are we referring to? Is he talking about sinful conduct? And that's part of what we need to look at when we study salvation and many other things. Praise God. But we saw that Jesus, he says, becomes the sacrifice, right, for our sins. On this note, last week, we said that Jesus offered the sacrifice for sins, right? We now also saw that Jesus himself was the sacrifice. The sacrifice that was offered for sin or for sins. What's the difference? I'm going to explain that. The sacrifice that was offered for sin or for sins. Are we together? Jesus is. Here's the law. Jesus is both the offerer and the offering. We've said that, right? We also said, how many times did he offer sacrifice? Once. How many times will he be offering the sacrifice? How many times did he offer the sacrifice? Once. How many times will he be offering the sacrifice? Is he going to come back and offer again? Why do you say that? How did he know? You guys have been talking to Jesus lately. Where the word of God says that. Praise the Lord. Because it is one sacrifice for what? Ever. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying. See, things look complex when you don't get the basics. Because there's no complex part of God's word. Is that clear? Whenever something looks complex about the knowledge of God or your work with God, go back to the basics. It means your knowledge of basics is being tested. There's no complex part of the word of God. Hallelujah. Look at this. He offered once and for all. Is that true? Now, I have the third question. Or is it the fourth question now? Okay, whichever one. If you have number three or four, it's fine. Not really about that. Is Jesus alive today? Yes. So, he is alive today. He is alive today. Amen. He is alive for how long? This? Forever. We have done. We have studied it. Forever. Okay? So we said that Jesus, or the writer of Hebrews said, that Jesus lives continually. And look at this. He said that that is a guarantee of that one sacrifice. He said that. The writer of Hebrews. We also saw the writer of Hebrews, he said, that the Old Testament priests went to offer the sacrifice in the tabernacle. We read the entire book of Leviticus over and over. So Jesus goes into, the Old Testament priest rather, goes into the tabernacle to offer sacrifices for sins. Then it says Jesus went alone. Right? He does not go with an item to offer, because he is the offering. Are we together? So it's not likely, look at this. So if you look at the Old Testament priest and you look at Jesus, the Old Testament priest goes into the tabernacle, goes to the mercy seat with blood. You would not see Jesus going with blood. He is the blood. He is the offering. He is the offering. He is the offering. He was the sacrifice. Jesus was not just the one sacrificing. He is the sacrifice for sins. Are we together? And the writer of Hebrews showed us that that sacrifice is a perfect one. Now, if he says that the sacrifice is a perfect one, because perfect is a comparison term. Are we together? If he says that the sacrifice is a perfect one, the perfection of that sacrifice will have to be situated within the scriptures. Yes or no? That is, why we say it is perfect, we have to be seen, observed within the scriptures. So if he says that I know that he says that the sacrifice of Jesus perfect. Are we there? It's perfect. Then he says the sacrifice of Jesus is perfect. Definitely, and I'm not using word rhymes, I'm just explaining to you that the perfection of Jesus is the fact that it's perfect. It perfects those who come to God by Him. Because the Old Testament blood could not perfect the worshippers. Are we together? And we spoke about that. He said that the perfection of that sacrifice, it is what that sacrifice does in the heart of the worshipper. The perfection is about what it does. So the Old Testament sacrifice told that it reinforced a sin consciousness in the worshippers. That means the sacrifice, they were again told that they were not in union with God. I didn't say somebody was telling them. And the fact that they have to come again is in itself a non-verbalized, are we together? Teaching. A non-verbalized that there is a barrier between them and God. Is a proof. So they were being schooled every year by their practice that there is a barrier between them and God. Are we there? So the writer of Hebrew presents that reality as the imperfection of that sacrifice. Is that clear? The right presents that as the imperfection of that sacrifice. Then he says the sacrifice of Jesus purges the heart of the believer from sin consciousness. He calls that the perfection of Jesus' sacrifice. So the perfection that Jesus' sacrifice offers is that it takes away, are we together? That barrier of sin between man and God, and further takes away his consciousness. Glory to God. He takes away that barrier of sin. He removes it from the way, and also tells you, or shows you, or makes you to not look at it, to not acknowledge it. So one of the things that salvation does, or is meant to do, that is why, if salvation is not properly explained, you will see a believer who's in his heart, that work is not done. But one of the things that the salvation of Christ does is that he removes your consciousness of barrier between you and God. He takes your mind away from it. Definitely, the sacrifice has taken away that barrier. It further does a work in your heart to therefore not acknowledge the barrier. I have not said that the believer sin, that would be a stupid Christian. I have not said the Christian ignores sin, that would be a stupid Christian. I'm saying that sin is no more a barrier, are we together, in accessing God. Jesus dealt with that barrier. He dealt with that enmity, as we are going to see. Follow me. So, 26, by the way of using a text, already now. Hebrews 9, 26. It says, if you look at from verse 22, it is, and almost all things are by the law, purged with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be what? Purified with this. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than what? Than this. When it says better sacrifice than this, what is the this? Good. When it says the heavenly things themselves should be purified with better sacrifices than this, what is the this? What is this? The Old Testament sacrifices. Thank you. Now look at 24, everyone. Can we read together? For Christ is not what? Entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true. What is the true there? What is the true here? No. He says, Christ is not, look at, okay, let's say the true is the sacrifice of Jesus. I hope I have your minds. That means that is not here. I hope I have your minds. Alright. So look at 24. For Christ, look at how I read it. For Christ is not entering into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the sacrifice of Jesus. Does that look like that's what it is? No. So read it again. For Christ is not entering into the holy place. It's made with hands. Now when it says holy place is made with hands, is that the tabernacle of Moses? That tabernacle where the high priest goes to offer. So, but he says that where Jesus entered is not like that one. That is made with hands. Why did he say not made with hands? Look at verse 23. Are you in verse 23? So let's read together once ago. Was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in what should be. What does in the heavens mean? Things that are not made with what?
Same thing.
Spiritual. Not made with that. So the heavens or heavenly is used in contrast to what is earthly, material. Heavenly, non-material. He is saying that Jesus offered his sacrifice not in the material tabernacle, but in the what? Immaterial what? Tabernacle. He now said, the material tabernacle is a figure of the what? Immaterial. How did he render immaterial in this text? The true. Thank you. You are getting it. Did you see that? Now, when it says figure, it means illustration. So I read again. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is an illustration of the what? The immaterial, the true, the real one. Are we together? The main substance. So look at this. Let's read it again, verse 24. Once ago. For Christ is not entered into the holy place where we enter, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven. So is the true the heaven? Is the true the heaven? Thank you. He now says, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Look at verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself what? Offering. So in the offering, the offering in the heavenly tabernacle will not be repetitive. Is it clear? Is it clear? But the offering in the physical tabernacle will be what? Repetitive. So now, look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. The offering in the immaterial tabernacle will not be what? Repetitive. Right? 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 The offering in the material will be what? Repetitive. Now, notice that both the tabernacle, the kind of offering, and the repetitiveness of that offering is all called what? Figure of the what? Of the truth. That means God knew what he was going to do in Christ. That's why he gave them instructions to be doing it at that time till he comes to do his work. Are we together? Are we together? So the sacrifice of Jesus in the spiritual is not an afterthought. It was the plan. But God kept the people busy till that happens. So the writer of Hebrews will now use what they were busy doing to teach them when the reality happens. Are we together? That means when you look at Leviticus and you see them offering blood on the tabernacle, God was showing them, God gave them that illustration for what he is going to do. He is going to offer a sacrifice in a place that is not a physical what? Tabernacle. And that sacrifice, when it is offered, will perfect those who receive it. Good. So, God was going to offer an immaterial sacrifice, right? Because, look at me again, look at me. You can't offer a material sacrifice in an immaterial place. Did you get it? So, if it's a and look at it, you can't also offer an immaterial sacrifice in a material place. If the place to receive the offering is material, then the sacrifice has to be what? Material. Did you see that? Are you with me? Okay, let's go on one by one. We have a lot of questions, though. And I told you Bible study is simply answering what? Questions. We have a lot of questions on salvation. A lot. I mean, a lot. Good. So look at this. Hebrews 9, 25. Now it says, nor yet that he should offer himself what? Often. So what did he offer? Is he himself? But he's not going to offer himself what? Again and again. Right? Have we solved the question of what he offered? Did he bring in a material blood like the Old Testament priest? No. Was he going to a particular temple that blood will be poured on it? No. He also will not need to offer. So he offered himself. He also will not need to offer himself what? Over and what? Over. Are we together? Are we together? Look at 25. It says, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of what? Others. Wait. What is this blood of others? Is it referring to the people's blood? Or the blood that the people brought? Thank you. So get the blood of others well. Don't just say, blood of others. That means they were offering men. No. Look at verse 26. For then must he often have suffered, is the value of the word, but now once in the end of the world, as he was, appear. So end of the world. Look at what he called end of the world. He says, as he was, appear. He didn't say Jesus will appear at the end of the world. He says Jesus already appeared at the end of the world. How? As how? Because end of the world is a scriptural terminology. Is it clear? Aha. So he says, but now, once in the end of the world, as he was, appeared, to put away what? Sin. By the sacrifice of what? Himself. So you observe that the word world there has to do with the activities. A particular set of activities. So at the end of that set of activities, Jesus showed up and did what? Did what? Put away what? Sin by the what? Sacrifice of what? Himself. 27. As it appointed unto men to die, once to die, but after this is the what? Is it the judgment? 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of what? Many. Notice that there's an in verse 26, you see sin as singular. In verse 28, you see sins as plural. But notice that sins as plural also attracted plurality of men. So it is still singular. But look at this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, or look unto him rather, shall he appear the second time without sin unto what? Salvation. This is not referring to rapture. We're talking about the resurrection. The resurrection. Now, he now says, are you with me? He now says in chapter 10, the law having a shadow of good things to come. Notice that he has spoken like this before in chapter 9, verse 24. He says, figures of the true. Right? So, figures of the true is another way of saying shadow of good things to come. Figures of the true
is another way of saying shadow of good things to what? To come. Let me ask you a question. When is a shadow of good things to come, are these things to come in our future or what had already happened? Huh? Thank you. What would that good things to come? What would that be? What would that be? The good things to come. What would that be? Okay. Figures of the truth. What is the truth? Figures of the truth. How many is there money? Figures of the truth. What does the true mean? The immaterial work, right? Right? Can we say the true refers to what Jesus did? Then figure what the Old Testament priest did, right? Right? The figure. Figure means illustration. True means the what? The actual reality. So when he says shadow of good things to come, shadow again is another way of presenting illustration. Are we there? Illustration. Good things to come will refer to what Jesus as what? What Jesus as what? What Jesus as what? What Jesus as what? What Jesus has done. Are we together? So look at it. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the what? The very image of the things. He's saying the same thing. He says, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the dearest come unto us perfect. So look at this. What is the perfection? Look at verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Okay? Because that what? The worshippers, who can render verse 2 to us in a different way? Or explain verse 2. Let me call somebody from this place. Who can say that text? Or that place. The people there have not been very responsive. Yeah, that place. You want to try? Okay, tell us. Wait. Anytime you want to answer a Bible question, read the text again. You know, it's like clicking refresh. Read it. You can't overread the text. So read it out again. It works on your mind. It works on the mind of your recipient. Okay? If your God will help you. Go on. If it's cool. Okay. If it's good. Okay. What does he say? What does he mean? What does that imply? How many of you agree with him? Do you have another view? Okay. You did not hear him. They did not hear you.
Now, I can tell you there's no question mark in that text. Is there a question mark there? There's a question mark there. Okay, read it again. Because you read it like there's a question mark. So read it again. If it could. If it could. Is there a question mark in that text? The translator put a question there. Okay, maybe it's just my mind, okay? Don't mind me. I can pay anything. What translator do you have? What translation do you have? What translation do you have? Is that KJV? What translation? There's nothing like actually Bible. There's a translation. Ah, okay. You don't know translation by yourself. You say, it's fine. You read on. You are carrying the sword, you don't know the brand. Okay, carry. Read on. Read on. Read it again. If they have been cleansed once and for all, well, there's no question mark there. Thank you. Because that's very direct and straight. But you need to know that translation. Okay, read on. Again. Be patient with me. I'm the student now. That's the way I read. I can read something 30 times. I get it. Okay. So if it was, if it could, that means it could be perfect. Okay. Imagine, look at me. I just got it. All right. Okay. So what are you saying from the text? Someone needs to hear you. Yes. Sacrifice could perfect. Yes. They would have stopped it. So the reason for repetitive offering is because the sacrifice could not achieve what God wanted to achieve. Are we together? There's another translation here. Okay, KJV. Okay, but what did you want to say from it? Read the text. Conscience of sins. Okay, thank you. So, how many of us agree that that's what the text is saying? So, look at this. He says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Look at 3. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins what? Every year. Verse 4. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. But the body that has prepared me, that means he comes to fulfill the sacrifice. In both of me that sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. They said, Lord, I have come the body of bulls written of me to do thy will, O God. In other words, I'm the one that will fulfill what's written in the books. He says in 8. Above when he says, sacrifice and sacrifice of both offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither have thou pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the what? The first. Is the first the figure? Is the first the shadow? That he may establish what? The second. So, look at it. First, second. First here is used for progression, not intention. Is it clear? Because look at this. If we are to deal with intention, which one is first? The true or the shadow? Can you open your mind? I didn't say your mouth. Your mind. If it were to be intention in the plan of God, which one is the first? The true or the shadow? But which one you did cause first here? The true or the shadow? The shadow. So first here has to do with the unfolding of events, not intention. Is it clear? See,
If you don't get it, I've come across people who said they use this text and said that the use of blood rituals. I'm talking about an abundance in 2024, 2025, or 2024. I had that. They use the text to justify the offering of animals today, and said that was as it is called. That's what they say. All of this one that you are saying, Jesus, he met us. He didn't meet you. Did you get it? People can twist a text. They said, no, we have the foundational thing that there are some people. They say it's this one that we made that the Bible says is the first one. Calm down. The fourth is in the order of activities, not. Is it clear? You cannot have illustration of what does not exist. That means something exists, but you find it difficult to grasp it. I now think of an illustration. Did you get it? So, the sacrifice of Jesus, and wait, oh, get it again. Oh, the sacrifice of Jesus, amen, did it precede the offering of blood? No, right? But what God wanted to achieve with the sacrifice of Jesus preceded what? The what? The offering of blood, and what the offering of blood was achieved. So the offering of blood and what the offering of blood achieves points towards what Jesus' blood will achieve. So when the sacrifice of Jesus came and achieved it, the truth, the reality has come. The shadow had to what? Stop. Are we together? See, this text we are reading is applicable in 2025, August. That's where we're going. So look at this. There it is. He takes away the first, that he may establish what? The second. What is the second? What is the will? The second will refer to his will. What he wants to do. That's the intention. So look at verse 10, everyone. By the which will, we are sanctified through what? The offering of what? Of the body of Jesus Christ. Once. Once for all. Now look at 11. And every high priest standeth daily. Ministry and offering oftentimes, repetitively, the same word, sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered what? Once. Who is this man? Is that Jesus? Thank you. So after he offered one sacrifice for sins, what? He sat down on the right hand of what? Of God. From henceforth, expecting to the enemy to be made what? His footstool. Can we take 14 together again? Another emphasis. For by the offering, he has perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Did you see that? He has perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Are we together? So look at this. I'll pause the reading from there. Look at this. We said the priesthood office in the Old Testament could not save. Right? What they were doing could not perfect. What is the perfection? It could not take away consciousness. Are we together? It could not take away sin consciousness from the heart of the worshippers. Whose worshippers? The worshippers of God. It could not take away sin consciousness. So he says that the sacrifice of Jesus, are we there? Comes to perfection. What is the perfection? The perfection will be, now, the sacrifice of the Old Testament, did it take care of sins? It took care of sins for how long?
1 year, but again they came back, right, to offer again. Now look at this. Let me say this, and then I'll come back again. And this is just a work for our Bible seminar. But look at this. We have thought that the sacrifice was sins only offered for 1 year, 365 days. We have thought that way. Is we will come back to it. Are we together? But let's stay on what we want to explain now. The fact that there was a repetitive what? Offering. Now, don't forget, the repetitive offering here will restore sin consciousness in the mind of the worshippers. It kept on showing them there is a barrier. You are sinful. You are sinful. So, in their worship, they had sin conscious. They were conscious of their sin and inadequacies in their hearts. So he's saying that the sacrifice of Jesus comes, amongst many other things, to take care of that sin consciousness. The sacrifice of Jesus comes to take care of the consciousness of sin, consciousness of a barrier between us and God, the sacrifice. Now, someone say, but the sacrifice of God is too big to just be used for consciousness of sins. It is not. Rather than saying that, the sacrifice of God is too big to just come and take care of ordinary conscience, consciousness of sins, is to show you how serious consciousness of sin is. That's what you are supposed to see. Rather than say, the sacrifice of Jesus is too big to just come and take away consciousness of sin, it is rather to show you how the consciousness of sin is impacting man. The consciousness of barrier between, are we together? How it affects man. I told you, I was in last week, I told you that sin consciousness ruins humanity. A very practical way that you know that sin consciousness is that when you are conscious of sin, the barrier between you and God, it affects how you handle your relationship with other men. Look at what Jesus even said. Jesus came and told Peter. He says, there are two guys that owe a master. He says, one owes him like 5 talents. Another one owes like 500. He now forgives both of them. Which one will love him more? Forgive him much, isn't it? To show you that the knowledge of our forgiveness, are we together? The knowledge, the insight into how much we have been forgiven goes to affect our life, how we relate with God, how we worship Him, how we relate to one another. Oftentimes, the way we treat others is a reflection of how we see ourselves in the eyes of God. The way you treat others, many times, because the way you handle relationships with people is a reflection of your theology. If you see yourself as so much forgiven, you will find it easier to let people go. When you see people that say, nothing is free in life, everything comes with something, that's how they see God. That's how they see God. They must pay for everything. Nothing goes. Don't say there's nothing free in Freetown. Are we together? Is that how you see God? So deeply forgiven, amen, will you do what? Will you forgive deeply? That's why you observe that all the texts, all of them, no one, all the texts in the New Testament books that instructs the believer to walk in love always said, just like God, forgive. In fact, Jesus says that you may be like the children of what? Of your Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that when he says, love your enemy, that you may be the children of your Father. So we learn love and forgiveness from God. Are we together? So when the knowledge of God's forgiveness is not clear, it will conflict your relating with other people. I told you it will weaken your faith. You are praying, but in your mind, you're already defeated. You're already seeing reasons why your prayer should not be answered. You are now saying it should not be answered. That sin consciousness that is making you see illegitimately, it's like someone has come to you and said, and showed you a script and said, for this reason, your prayer cannot be answered. You already believe that there are reasons why your prayer should not be answered. You are now saying it was not answered. It can't be answered now. So what's making you to believe there is a reason why your Father can't hear you is sin consciousness. In that the Christian should ignore sin, we have not said that. No. Are we together? A believer, for example, is remorseful and saddened when he sins. He's saddened. There's a voice of the inward man in response to sin. He's saddened. He's repelled. Are we together? Are we together? But we are saying that sin does fellowship problem. In fact, when a believer sins, what he needs for restoration is the fellowship with God. Is it clear? What he needs for restoration. That's why when a Christian falls into sin, what it needs for restoration is the fellowship. It is in the fellowship with God that his heart is made light again. Do you get it? Now, when there is a sin consciousness, he has sinned. But the sin consciousness has a barrier, so he can't go to God because of the sin. Then he falls deeper and deeper and deeper. Irreconcilable. So don't say, because you have sinned, you can't come to God. You actually need God to fix you when you sin. He is the doctor. Do you get it? Now, delve a bit into applicative of it. You see a Christian who has done something wrong and then feels unworthy and then he stops coming to church. That's stupid. You need the church more because you are sick. The church now fixes you. Because God will do his work with men or using men. I'm not worthy again. I'm not worthy again. Then you stop coming to church. That's actually the wrong thing to do. Then you start relating with, then you stop fellowship with other believers. Have you observed that oftentimes that's exactly what Satan wants you to do? The moment there is a misconduct, it begins to build imaginations in your head that makes you like you should not fellowship with the saints. That's Satan working on you. What you need at that moment is actually a fellowship with the saints. So look, James said, confess your faults one to what? Another. That's what? That's what? That's what? That's what? That's what? That's what? Faults one to another. That you, the healing there is not your body. You're talking about relationship. So when there is an issue, lapses, what you need to heal and to fix it is relationships, people. the people of God, the church of God, a moment of that meeting becomes an encounter, isn't it? Isn't it? That encounter will lead to identity, right? Then it will lead to what? It will lead to what? Further what? A deeper what? Consecration. Outpouring of the Spirit is that you have overcome that conduct. Praise the Lord. So, how did you get there? So, the perfection of the holy sacrifice is the fact that it takes away what? Sin consciousness. Part of the sin consciousness, look at me now, is the need to offer sacrifices. That shows you that anywhere you get to and you see people offering sacrifices for false religion, some will even try to do it in the name of Jesus. They call themselves people under Christian umbrella and they offer animals. You see, one lost prophet tell you to dope. They will say it's ajo. Ajo. They say Olo ko ajo. That's stupid. That's what? That's stupid. Olo ko. Is it clear? So the time to bring now, it's not only the offering of animals, though. It can digress into, look at it. If you want something, bring what? Something. That's also sin consciousness. It will show you, is a teaching that tells you to get God's intervention, you have to labor, do something, drop something, give something. No, that is sin consciousness. Anything that stops you from seeing God as a father and that you are his responsibility naturally. How many of you get your parents to pay school fees because you've sold into their pocket? So the teaching that says to get this that God gives freely, are we together? To get this thing that God gives freely, do this. Any teaching that says that is built on what? Sin consciousness. He's telling you there's a barrier, overcome it. But there is no barrier. So it says the sacrifice of Jesus will remove what? Sin what? Consciousness. So look at me now. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Sin consciousness that the sacrifice of Jesus takes away, is it just your mental acknowledging or human practices? Thank you. It heals human practices on the earth. So you can now see what sin consciousness means. It goes much more than thinking about sin. Thinking about sin. It shows how you live. How you live entirely could be powered by sin consciousness. We're going to teach. So I will show you what sin consciousness is. The entirety of Islam as a religion is built on sin consciousness. The entirety of Islam. The entirety of Islam is built on sin consciousness. All of these traditional religious worships, sacrifice to idols, occultic practices, is all built on sin consciousness. If God opens your eyes, you see sin consciousness responsible for all the sins that is happening around. So he says the sacrifice will take it away. So look at it. How often will the sacrifice of Jesus take away sin consciousness? By the teaching of it. By the teaching of it. Because he's not saying that, for example, look at it. So he's not saying that when a man automatically leaves him. Sin is taken care of, right? But look at this. The sacrifice also now becomes a curriculum to be explained. That as is being taught, sin consciousness is what? Is dealt with. You could not the Old Testament. There is no way you want to tell them there is no more barrier between you and God, and then but next year they are here to what? To offer. So it wasn't perfect. Because it could not deal. So look at everybody. The sacrifice could not deal with sin in their hearts. Would that imply that the sacrifice could not fix their perception about God and what they did from that perception? That's it. It could not fix their perception. It could not fix the fruits of that perception. Does the sacrifice deal with the conduct of the believer? Yes. Eventually. Could those sacrifices in the Old Testament deal with the conduct of those guys in Israel? No. They were offering the sacrifices, yet their hearts were hardened. Did you see that? Did you see that? Has a lot to, much more than just thinking about things. It talks about the way you see life, the way you see God, the way you see life and see God and see other people and relate it. It will make you to worship idols. Look at me. Sin consciousness is why you prioritize money over God. Because you do not trust him. That's what. You do not see God as your source. And the one who will bless the little you can do. Are we together? I'm not saying you should do little. But I mean that one you can do. What you could do that the work of serving God accommodates. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Your life is to serve God. As you are serving God, that service of God is able to accommodate some set of activities to make money and living. There are some activities in making money and living that your service of God will not accommodate. Your service of God will not accommodate to you. Did you get it? Your service of God will, there are some, or even depth of activity that your service of God will not accommodate. So the one that your service of God accommodates, are we together? The reason why you feel that God cannot take care of you, God cannot bless the amount of activities that serving him accommodates, the reason why you think God cannot bless it is because you don't trust him. If you trust him and he knows he can bless the amount of work that serving him accommodates, you will not prioritize money over him. Because you know that while serving him, the amount of work that serving him can accommodate, he will bless it. When he blesses it, it will take care of you and more. But because you don't trust him, you don't trust that he will bless the amount of work that serving him accommodates. So you prioritize money over what? Serving him. Look at me. Look at me, everybody now. Look at me. What I just explained now, can he make somebody to travel abroad and forsake a local church? Same consciousness. He can make somebody to forsake the work of and travel to greener pastures, which could be a city, could be a country. So it is wired. It is wired. So that entirety of things says the sacrifice of Jesus, I already said it will be done through teaching, because it will now be explained to you that this is what Jesus did. As what Jesus did is being explained to you, it takes away the sin consciousness and its many roots. You are now able to worship God in true devotion. The Old Testament sacrifices could not achieve that. Get it? Sin consciousness is why you swindle another man to have some resources in your account or your pocket. Because you don't what? Trust God. It is deep. So it's not just, sin consciousness is not just thinking about sin. It's not about thinking about sin. Glory to God forevermore. About thinking about sin. Okay. So when you say, so look at this. Someone say, I'm not sin conscious. But Sunday morning you are here. You are not sin conscious. You are sin conscious. Did I tell you another one? Lift. Go. He's sin conscious. Lift. Lift it. Are we together? Someone is standing there and says, let's lift. She goes, they're like, oh, my hand. Hope I didn't get enough cut it. It is sin consciousness. Hallelujah. Say, God is my Father. There is no barrier. I worship him in spirit and in truth. Lift up your hands, just give God praise. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift it, lift it. Lift it. Lift your head. But I not lift up his hands. Put it down. Amen. So you lift up holy hands. You are not ignoring your sins. You know that it is not a barrier for God to fix you. Because we need fixing. We need what? We fix in our conduct. Glory to God. You are not ignoring what? Sin. But you are here again in worship to the Lord because you know he will fix things. He will fix it. He will what? He will fix it. He is the Savior. He saves. He fixes. So don't run away from church. He will fix it. Is it clear? Look at me. I know some of you, you go to the media, social media, to hear all sorts of rubbish. So some people will tell you and say, the problem of Nigeria is that people are just praying instead of walking. People are praying because we are building churches. Who stopped you from building factories? Did we collect your land? People are just bitter. Instead of building, some said, you see that place that church is standing, if they call it an hospital, They will provide more jobs. How many jobs have you provided? I have thought. The problem of the world, the church. The churches have issues. And the issues of the churches is simply because the humans that are there, including me. Are we together? You know, someone say, the Bible says, where two or three people are gathered, there I am in their midst, right? Where two or three people are gathered, there will also be challenges. Is it clear? Is it clear? Or is there anybody? Huh? Yeah. Right? Just need man to be there. The churches. But the churches is not the problem of what? Of the world. It's something else. See, hear me today. People who talk about churches in that life, it is not true. There's something else in their heart that they are not saying. That's why I don't listen to them. They are just bitter. How can you say that churches is who 60% don't attend churches? Of the 40% that attend churches, 25% are not committed. They are just churchgoers. That means they are not in all the teaching services. They are not in all the prayer meetings. They are never on evangelism. I said never. If they are, they are carrying placards. They are not in all teaching services. They are not in all prayer services. They are never. I said never. That one is zero in evangelism. The 25%. It is the 15%. Are we together? Are we together? 15%. It is the 15% that is suddenly doing the work of a meeting. And of that 15%, 7 to 8% who are just coming up, getting serious. So for all 100% of the people, only about 8% are fireful that we can call Christian leaders. I'm not saying heads of churches. I mean exemplary Christians in their place of work everywhere. How can you then say church is responsible for what happened? It is not. It is not. It's a bitter statistic. The statistics for bitterness. The problem of this is tithing. Tithing is the problem. Is the problem of this was done around 2021. No, it was 2021, 2023. That says in the U.S., for example, in the U.S., they said less than 6% of churchgoers give their tithes. Less than 6% give their tithes. Are we together? Less than. No, it was in the country. It was in the country, yes. Less than 6% give their tithes. So, how can you say that tithing issue is what is disturbing the body of Christ? When less than 6% are people that even give tithe, it's not a founded statistics. The problem of Nigeria, pastors are the problem. How many percent of the faith of the people are pastors? And when you say pastors are the problem of Nigeria, how many of those pastors? You just speak like 1, 2, or 3. 1, 2, or 3. One there that probably has misbehaved. Then you now use that one. And that one that misbehaved, maybe in an interval of 3, 4, 5 years, you now judge that anybody that is handling Bible and handling mic is collecting money from everybody. It's not true. It's pastor that is collecting money from it. It's a lie. It's just bitterness. And if they are not, if they are a stupid Christian, you give your attention to the wrong thing. Attention is very expensive. If you like, give it to the enemy. The most expensive thing in the life of a man is his attention. The most expensive thing in the life of a man is what? His attention. If you give it to the wrong things, you are gone. Attention is one thing that if you give away, you can never buy back. You don't give it to the wrong things, You don't give it to the wrong information. Selective attention. You are very strict. The attention is more expensive. Is it clear? Your money. The attention is more expensive than your money. It's more expensive. So if you caution where your money goes, you caution where your attention goes much more. Praise God forevermore. Then it's money that are chopping the money. Why? And pastors have private jets. Are you okay? Are you serious? Lost. How can pastors have, and how many pastors have private jets in Nigeria? Maybe 2, 3, 4. So how can you say because 2, 3, 4 have private jets, then all the pastors? You just idiot. With the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So look at that. It's that consciousness of sin just caused chaos. So he says, the sacrifice of Jesus who come will see as is being taught. As is being taught, will take care of it. So what I did was that I expounded that concept. That's what I did last few minutes. Of the consciousness of sin. I expounded it. So look at this. The summary of all that is what the writer of Hebrew is pointing to. Let's say 2, 3 more things and then we'll close for today. Is that clear? So look at this. He says, Jesus' sacrifice is perfect because it's perfect. It's a perfect sacrifice because it perfects the worshipper. So what is the perfection that he gives the worshipper? Deals it towards the consciousness of sin. Are we together? How does he do that? Because it will not need to be offered what? Huh? It will not need to be offered every year. It will not need to be offered often. Praise God. So, look at this. Fish wouldn't save. Couldn't perfect the worshippers. You must then know what the perfection is. Sin consciousness. Are we there? For it says that Jesus offered a sacrifice once. And after offering, he sat. You see, what does the sitting imply? What does the sitting? Hebrews 1, verse 3. So the sin consciousness, are we there? The sacrifice of Jesus, look at this, takes away sin consciousness. How? Does it just make you to ignore sins? Or it takes away sins and does much more? Huh? So he takes away sins, right? And does much more. What is the much more he does? He shows you the sin is already what? Taken away. Did you see that? So the sacrifice of Jesus removes sin consciousness. Not just by working on your consciousness of sin. Are we there? But actually taking away the what? The sin. And goes forward to show you it is really, really what? Taken care of. And then fixes all the things that your consciousness of barrier between you and God causes you to do. Think amongst men. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So look at this. Look at this. In Hebrews 1, verse 3,
He says, who be the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and did what? Sat down, right? On the right hand of the word, majesty on high. Okay? Is this material or immaterial? We're going to see. Don't be in a hurry. In Hebrews 8:1, now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So he did not say he sat here. He says set. Well, that's just English, because the word in the Greek implies the same, which actually means to be set somewhere. It means to be fixed. But the way to explain that being fixed is to be what? Seated. So it's not just, it's not communicating relaxing. Is it clear? Is it clear? The word seat is used, but it actually means to be set somewhere. Because look at this, for example. Let me open your mind a bit. Ephesians 2. Quickly. Ephesians 2. I want us to look at that, and we'll look at one or two more things, and then we'll close. Praise God. Look at Ephesians 2. Now, guys, what's the study? Eh? Plenty. We have not started. We have not started. We have not started scratching the surface. So when I mention a concept, we are coming back to look into it deeply. Alright. Ephesians 2. We have not started scratching this. Ephesians 2. Are you there? Look at verse 4. God is rich in mercy, for his great love where we have loved us, even when we're dead in sins, has given on us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us upward together. Statement. He says, and made us sit together in heavenly places. Amen. Look at this. He says, he has made us to sit. Now, this same word is the word used for Jesus when he said he is seated at the right hand of God. It is the word katizo. Now, are you seated with Jesus physically? Huh? Huh? Because I can't see Jesus. Or maybe he's just invisible. There are extra chairs here. Are we there? The sitting he's talking about here, is it literal, physical? Huh? Definitely no. Are we together? The sitting he's talking about here is positional. It's an office. So, he says he has made us to sit together, right? Now, if he says sit together, does it mean Christ is seated? Open your mind. If he's seated together with you, does it mean that you are sitting? Does it mean I'm also sitting? Simple. If I sit with you now, if I say, what's the name, sir? Elijah. If I say, where is Boy Elijah? I say, Boy Elijah is sitting, he's seated with Pastor. Maybe we are in a function. Are we there? And then I want to serve food. Are we there? Maybe the teacher wants to serve food. Elijah is like, where is Boy Elijah? Where is Boy Elijah? Where is Boy Elijah? That was in the Bible. Someone will not say, go into the scriptures.
If you take going to the scripture, they are being mischievous. You don't want the brother to eat. But he's a wise boy. He's seated with pastor. Does that mean pastor is sitting somewhere? Does that mean Elijah is also sitting? So when he says seated with Christ, does that mean a position of sitting? I'm not saying is it literal or not. I say, is that reality? When he says together with, is he also the other person's reality? Thank you. That's what I'm asking. Oh, he is eating with pastor. Does that mean pastor is also eating? Yes, now. Because the moment he says he's doing this with this, that means they are doing it together. So if he says seated with Christ, is to show you that Christ isn't it? Isn't it? I've not said is he a literal sitting or not a literal sitting, but is Christ explained in the scriptures to be seated? Yes or no? So Christ is seated where? Where is he seated? He's seated at the right hand of God. Now that sitting is now explained. The word katizo means to set something in position. Sitting is a setting in position. Is it clear? Now look at this. The reason why I said that, because you can see sitting as relaxing. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Is this a Christ? He says he is fixed. So he's a position. It's an Old Testament word. Old Testament books. It's an Old Testament language that is used to describe regions. That means this person has the office of the king. Otun. That's why he said, sitting at the right hand is not saying he's at the right side. Is it at the right hand? The right hand is an office. It's a position of authority. This is my right hand. Are we together? When a king comes and says, this is my right hand, you will see that directly from what's his name now? Joseph and Pharaoh. Are we together? So Joseph was set at the right hand of Pharaoh. You know what that hand means. When you go in, he gave what? A ring. Right? And said that there is nothing in all of Egypt that is not under the power of what? Of Joseph. Except two things. He said his wife, himself. Are we together? If you needed to talk to Pharaoh, whatsoever Joseph has said, I beg thee. If you needed Pharaoh's permission and you've got Joseph's permission, it's done. If you needed Pharaoh's presence somewhere and Joseph, are we together? Are we together? I'm not even saying Pharaoh has then been represented. I said Pharaoh is already there. That's the right hand. This is me in another form. Are we together? So the man Christ Jesus is set at the right hand of God. That's why he's not right. The right office. And in fact, look at me. When the king is sitting, it does not even mean that the right hand is sitting at his right side. So it is. It's not a geographical displacement. It's a position, it's a status. This is a right hand. So, the person, much more than saying that the person is at the right hand, is the proper judgment, the person is the right hand of the king. That's what they say. Go and check it. Are we together? See, some of you see some movies, these old time movies, historical, whatsoever, of these kings, monarch, and all that. You will see. What they usually say is not that this person is at the right. This person is the right hand of the king. He is the right hand of the king. The person is the right hand of the king. He is the right hand. No one, they won't say he is at the right side of the king. Or he's at the right hand. They say, oh, that Lord so and so is actually the right hand of the king. It is positional. So he set at the right hand of God means to be brought into an office. He now says in that office, the believer is seated with him. That means the believer shares function with Jesus. Because the right hand is a function, is an office, is a responsibility. So there's what God is doing on the earth. The person who is in it, the person who is responsible, is who? Is who? Is Jesus. There is what God is doing on the earth. The one who is getting it done is who? Is Jesus. The one who is going everywhere to get it done is who? Is Jesus. There is God's work on the earth. There is what God is doing on the earth. The person going about doing it is who? So if he is going to do it, is he there somewhere? Answer me. If he's going about to do the work around the earth, is he physically sitting there somewhere? Because if he's physically sitting there somewhere, then he's not going. If he's going, then he has left his seat. Are we together? If he's physically going there, he has left his seat. Are you with me? So the right hand of God has nothing to do with a chair somewhere. It's an office that executes your responsibility. He now says, alongside with him in that office is who? Don't say the believer. Say the church. Church believer.
Or the church.
Do you now understand all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me? Go ye therefore. Huh? He didn't say all authority on heaven and earth has been given to us. But by saying go in therefore, he expects you to see that, oh, it's us. All authority given to me, go therefore. He expects you to know that, oh, you're going because you are in that authority. All authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Praise God. Are you with me this morning? Is what? Seated. So the seated, is it a setting? Did I get right on this? The seated, is it a setting? The seated, is it authority? The seated, is it responsibility? Is it responsibility? Is it authority? Is it a function? Is it a privilege? Is it a task? The seated, is it an office? The seated, is it an appointment? Did you ever begotten you? Is that the seated? Is that the seated? Thou art my son. Did you ever begotten thee? Is that the seated? The Lord has said he's only one in Zion, right? Is that the seated? Is that the seated? Touch not my anointed, the anointed, the installed king. Is that Christ seated? Hey. You know, we often use it for pastors, right? The anointed is Jesus. Why do we use it for pastors? Because pastors, Christian leaders, are you with me? Are standing in his office amongst men. And oftentimes, when somebody sends a subject, the honor you give to the sender, you will transmit it to the what? The sender. Right? When someone sends you, the governor of Christ sends someone to a function, the person will have to sit where the governor should have sat if the governor was around. That's giving the person the honor that would have given the word. If we give him a lesser honor, we have not honored the what? The governor. That's where pastors come in. Fortunately, my mother. But But the anointed is talking about the sitting king. Glory to God forevermore. I think I'll close on this note. Amen. So look at that. He says, he has made him to sit. Ephesians 2. He says, look at chapter 1 to start with. Quickly, I want to close. Chapter 1 to start with. In verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his name. He says, I want the exegesis of the power of those who believe. He says, according to the working of his mighty power, when he raised him from the dead, at his own right hand in the heavenly. Glory to God forevermore. So in chapter 2, verse 6, and has raised us up together, and has made us what? To sit together. That is the word katizo. What set in chapter 1, verse 20, and the word sit in chapter 2, verse 6 is the same word. So, he said, it has to do with office. So, if he uses the word sit, office, he's talking about the same thing. Is to fix somebody in a position. And look at this. He's fixed in a position. Fix you. Don't lose this. Pay attention. If I fix you in a position, is it for you to relax or for activities? Thank you. So Christ is set at the right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God. Is he relaxing or is it a new kind of work? Is he relaxing or is it a new kind of work? Good. So is Jesus relaxing? No. He now has greater works. Doing it with whom? Church. So the church is seated together with him. If the one that has the seat and gave you seat is busy, should you be the one relaxing? That means you are stupid. Or confused. That means you are confused now. We brought into an office. You now saw the one that has the office working. He traveled from Abuja to Lagos. He has no eating. From Lagos again, took another bus to Calabar. From Calabar, he's at Abuja again, to Anambra, to Ilori, to Lagos. Walking. You that they now call that should be his personal assistant. They now look for you. They didn't see you in the bus. Where is he? They call your number in situ. Did they kidnap him? You never see. You did not leave. They say, where are you? Say, where is the boss? Ogada. He traveled since 4 days ago. I thought Oga was in those apartment since 4 days ago. Oga has been to 19 states. You and your jacuzzi with cucumber slice. Oh yeah. Ogana did 19 states. And it was because of him that you were taking at me. If he leaves office today, you are useless. So if Christ that holds the seat and invited us into fellowship is busy around the world, the church must be what? Must be busy. Doing what? So Christ is winning. Yeah, does that make any sense? Winning souls, discipling them, healing the sick, casting out devils, men, training ministers, getting men full of the Holy Ghost. Is it clear, church? So look, right hand of God is what? Activity. Is what? Activity. See there, the right hand of God is what? Work, labor. How do we know how much we must labor? look at Jesus. What's he doing? What's he doing? Ha! Oh, God, it's love. Everybody left me. Ah, Brogalo Ba. Ah, Ogalo Niji. We have to UK, you go. When you go to Uganda, you go. I didn't say Uganda is worse than UK. Are we there? We go where Jesus goes. So we'll continue to explore that sitting in our next meeting. So seated, that the writer of Hebrews said that he is seated. He's seated. We now use the word katizo. Now you need to look at the concept that the writer of Hebrews is explaining. Are we together? Because the writer of Hebrews said, the blood is sitting. The blood is seated. He is the blood. He is the sacrifice. The sacrifice is seated. If you are not careful, it looks like, oh, Jesus has done all the work. What you are doing? 3 days. We will do for 3 years. Or 30 years. Okay. Jesus did ministry for 3.5 years. He told us to do our own for 6 years. Are you okay? Ministry. Are you okay? Who is this pastor? We should arrest the pastor. Are we together? Jesus. He's on the earth. So did Jesus ever say goodbye? He never said goodbye. There are people who see him every now and then. But he doesn't go to people who are not busy with his work. It will be a waste of that time. Are we together? Are we together? He's on the earth. So the writer of Hebrews says, he is seated. Let's look at some text. In Hebrews 8 verse 1, he says, he is set on the right hand of the majesty, of the throne rather, of the majesty in the heavens. Now, when you read throne of the majesty, don't be like an unbeliever thinking about throne. Ask the question, what does the writer mean by throne of the majesty? Ask the writer. Don't ask your Nollywood. The text was written before Nollywood. The text was written before English. So ask the writer, what do you mean by throne? Is he talking about the physical throne or the place of our birth and activity? Glory to God. The throne of the majesty in the heavens. He ministered of the sanctuary and of the tabernacle, which the Lord pleased and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that they were priests that offer gifts according to the law. Serve an example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Now look at this very importantly, don't miss it. He says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, that tabernacle made with hands. For see is yet he, who is he? God. For see is yet God, that you make all these things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Was there a tabernacle in the mount? No. But there were visions. So Moses saw visions in the mountain for 40 days. God now said, the tabernacle you are going to make with hands and the things they would do should illustrate what you saw. Does that make sense? Look at the next verse. He says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, that is
God, that is Jesus, by how much also he is the mediator. So look at something here. Don't miss this detail. 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 Look at verse 5. Don't miss the detail. Who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, who was he here? God. But now he obtained a more excellent ministry. Who is he there? God in human form. That's Jesus. He says, he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, he repeats what he repeated again in chapter what now? I think chapter 5. He says, or chapter 7. He says, I've been faultless. No, chapter 10, rather. It's chapter 10. Then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day is coming when I'll make a new covenant, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers. Then he says, on and on, on and on. Then he says, in that he said in verse 13, a new covenant, he had made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to what? To vanish away. So the first again speaks of activity, not intention. So he said he is seated. He is seated. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 9 verse 7, he is seated. He is seated. In 9:7 he says, but into the second went high priest. He says, alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and also for the people. The priest kept on going in and coming out. In verse 25, he says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the priest entered into the holy place. Again, often. Chapter 10, verse 3, he has a remembrance again every year made of sins. Often, going in and out. So the action of Christ, he says, he offered once and did what? And sat. Hallelujah. The sitting as explained by the writer of Hebrews, therefore, is true. Explains there is a sitting that describes the finality of a work, the efficacy of a work. It is rest of inactivity. Are we together? Are we together? It is a rest from a work to now commence another. The sitting, are we together? We will explain those two things. He has concluded a work, but where the work does not mean is now what I do. The work he has concluded has initiated another what set of works. Is it clear? So he is seated means a work has been done. But he is also in position for other works. You will see that as the writer of Hebrews when he uses the word seat. Now, I'll pick it up from there next week. You'll notice that when the word seat is used, also in the book of Acts, in the book of Hebrews, the writer also said, till thy enemies be made what? Your footstool. That means the seat is not rest. It's now, there's the word till. To sit until thy enemies. To sit until thine enemy be made a footstool. Obviously, the footstool has to do with a place under your control. A place under your control where your influence and authority is manifestly declared. Footstool deals with the manifestation. It deals with the manifestation of your authority. So I have authority. Are we together? I have authority, but look at this. I have authority, but it does not make somewhere my footstool. Is it clear?
The authority is simply a potential. That's the authority. So the fact that I have authority does not mean I'm in control of all that happens. But if I have authority, being what? In control. So the authority is given to me so I can set things in what? In order. So at the end of the day, everything comes under my control. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? The fact that I have authority does not mean things will not still look messed up. But the authority is so that I can set things in order. Do you get what I'm saying? The authority is so I can set things in order. All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He now says, go and set things in order. Make men what? Disciples. He didn't say, all authority and earth is given unto me, therefore all men are my disciples. He did not say that. He says, go and make what? Disciples. So authority is to make a mission possible. Authority does not mean there is no mission. It is to make the mission possible. So sit at my right hand until I enemies what? The footstool. So to make the enemy footstool, which if you look into the, and then the set, that word enemies is actually translated as enmity. It's the same thing that we saw in Genesis when it says the seed of the woman shall what? Bruise the head of the serpent. Are we together? Or I will make there to be enmity. So it wasn't God that declaring that it's enmity. The Hebrew language, are we together? The Hebrew language is quite tricky. It's quite tricky. The Hebrew language is quite tricky. Sometimes something will be presented. Are we together? If you don't speak that language, you will not. The subject is silent. You will think that the subject is active. Sometimes, for example, if a text says, God said this, or God did this, it didn't mean God did it too. I didn't say all the time. I said sometimes. So why the English translated as God did this is because God is simply involved. God was found in the equation. The audience who spoke Hebrew, that thinks Hebrew, understand how that presentation works. Are we together? But when you translate a silent subject can make it active and loud. For example, we say, God said they should go and wipe. It looks as though God showed up and said, all of you, go and clear all of them. No. Or he say, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. How? As how? As how? And if we are not careful, those texts makes us to look at our father and say, ah, is it you or somewhere else? You say salvation is of the world. Yeah, you come to harden one so that he can perish. How, sir? Is there light and darkness in you? And he said, no, you can't question God. No. When he says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, God was found in the equation of Pharaoh's hardened heart. How? The message that hardened Pharaoh's heart, it was God's message. That's why in another place, he said Moses hardened God's heart. So who did it? Moses hardened Pharaoh's heart. So who exactly did it? Was it God or Moses? It was because Moses was found in that equation. Message that came to Pharaoh that he hardened his heart. If God had not sent the message, you would not see Pharaoh hardening any heart. So by being the equation, but the Hebrew was rendered that way, as though God did it. As I said, I'm not really tired of studying. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. Sitting, being seated, is to explain a position of rest, a position of inactivity. A position of rest. The rest there will mean, the rest there would imply the conviction that a particular task has been what?
has been achieved.
Is that clear, church?
That a particular task has been achieved. So it's a position of rest. It's a position of accomplishment. And the same sitting, look at this, he now also says, that means there's still more to us to accomplish. Is it clear, church?
So,
when you see the word sit in the book of Hebrews, you have to situate the word. There are times when sit is to show you something has been accomplished. Are we there? Something has been accomplished. There are also instances where sit is used for being sit in a position for more what? Accomplishment. Glory to God forevermore. So, it's now left for you to pay attention to the context. So, when our sins is being discussed, and it says Christ sat after he purged, that means that seat is dealing with what? Accomplishment. He will do nothing again about that. It has been fully done, perfectly done. In the same text, when you see seat, it simply means he has been put in the office. So now what? Do certain things. He says, see, thy enemy, though it was pluralized in KJV, is actually not plural. See, thy enemies, because look at this, the enemies are not men. Man is not God's enemy. If man is God's enemy, man will need to be saved from God. But man is not God's enemy, so God came to save man. Man is not saved from God. Man was saved by God. Because man is not God's enemy, but there is enmity between God and man. Did you get it? So God saves man from the enmity. God saves man from that work of saves man unto himself. He removes the enmity, saves man unto himself. Is that clear, church? Is that clear, church? So, if we say he's resting, the question will be resting from what? He can't be resting from work, but he can be resting from the accomplishment of what? Salvation. Did you get it? Did you get it? It can't be resting from works. So look at everybody. Rest in the Bible does not always mean to relax and not work. Glory to God forevermore. So, he now says, he's at the right hand of God. The word dexios, D-E-X-I-O-S, D-E-X, X for xylophone, D-E-X-I-O-S, I-O-S, dexios. And it is used for a position of full authority and disclosure. What does that mean? All that needs to be done will be done through that office. All that needs to be known will be shown through that office. So all of the revelation and the power of God, are we together? Is found where? In Christ. What does it mean? You can never know God without knowing who? Jesus. And if you have known Jesus, you don't now need to move in to know God. If you have known Jesus, you have known God. He is not a gateway to God. He is God. Does that make sense to you? Full revelation. Full authority. Full revelation. So where do we go from here? He says, thine enemy. I'll give you those texts, you go by it. He says, Hebrews 1:13. In Hebrews 1:13, you see the word heos. H-E-O-S. H-E-O-S. Hebrews 10:13. You see the word heos. H-E-O-S. In Acts 1:8 also, you see the word heos. It is the word
sit at my right hand until thine enemies.
Is the word while. While or even as. Even as.
Sit at my right hand even as or while thine enemy. Acts 1:8. Unto. Are we together? Unto. The enemy is the word ectos. E-C-H, ek. T-H-R-O-S. Tros, ectros. E-C-H, T-H-R-O-S, ectros. What does ectros mean? It means hostility. Until thy hostility. Hostility. Are we together? You see the same text in Matthew 22:44. Quickly. Mark 12:36. See it in Luke 20:43. The same text. You see it in Acts 2:35. Now Jesus was said to have fulfilled that text in Psalm. Are we there? He says, until thy enemy or enemies be made your footstool. Don't forget, footstool, I think that will be the word upopodion. I'm not sure, but I think it's upopodion. Yeah. I'd gone through that word about 6, 7, 8 years ago. Upopodion. I'm actually explaining from my notes for about 3, 4, 5 years ago. All right. Upopodion. So, made thy footstool. Until all hostility be gone from the nations. Until the earth be made thy footstool. Until all. That's my translation, bro. Yeah. Until hostility be gone from the nations. Or gone in the nations. Are we together? Sit at my right hand until the earth be made what? Thy footstool. I'll pause from there. Are we together? So look at this. Jesus did not have to offer repetitive sacrifices. He didn't have to offer repetitive sacrifices. He offered just one sacrifice. And when he offered it, he offered it and sit down. He offers it and is set at the right hand of God. So I said, two things you see there. You see an accomplishment of salvation, not needing any requirement again. Then you see further works needing to be done. So many times, in a bit to, by Bible theologians, in a bit to explain the concept of the finished work of Christ, they mix that up. Don't call what is finished what should be ongoing. And don't say ongoing what has been finished. Don't teach salvation as though Christ has not done the proper work. And then, don't in a bit to teach salvation, belittle the work of ministry. Ongoing work. So there is the finished work of Christ. There is the unfinished work. We can rather call it the ongoing work of Christ by the church. Because it is by the church that the whole earth will be made what? A what? So it is by the church that the hostility in the earth will be what? Will be gone. Is it clear, church? So the church will take away what? Hostility from the earth. Hostility or what? Pray for me. Hostility. The church will take away hostility from the earth. Are we together? And that is also part or the fruit of the work of salvation. So look at this. The one we saved has the responsibility to take away hostility from God's earth. Are we together? The one we saved has the work. If you are here and you are saved, nice hearing. If you are here and you are saved, now I see your hand. Is that brother sleeping? I say, have your hand. And church service. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Put your hands up. So the one who is saved
Glory to God. Has a task of doing what? Freeing the world, healing the world of what? Of spirit. Are we together? Look at me. How will he free the world of hostility? By learning that word. By learning what? Huh? By the teaching of Christ that we undo the work of what? Sin consciousness. No way to go. That we undo the work of sin consciousness. Take away hostility. That is why the church is instructed. Notice that every instruction to love was directed to the church. Because it is the church that has the capacity to love. The unbeliever doesn't. The unbeliever doesn't. What is that love that the unbeliever does not have the capacity that only the believer loves? It means many times Christians have not understood what it means to love. That's why it looks like what you are told to do, an unbeliever can also do it. Church is told to walk in love, to heal, to restore, to help, to train and to nurture, to lead and to guide, to direct, to provide God's leadership. This is our walk in salvation. Are we together? So salvation has its foot on the earth. We cannot fully walk in the manifestation of God's salvation, thinking and believing that it could be lost. Thinking and believing that we could add to it to perfect what has been done. Or by simply not fully understanding it. No. It says, until all hostility be gone from the earth. And that is the work of the church. As we preach. As we teach. Are we together? Until all hostility be gone from the earth. So we pray. We teach. We provide God's wisdom and leadership to people. Until all hostility be gone from the nation. That is why the church shouldn't be a place where there is dichotomy based on status. The church is not a place where the wealthy and the rich is recognized much more than the materially poor. The church is not a place where a gender is granted more advantage of status than another gender. The church is not a place where people who are of renown, in the world, let's say politicians, the public servants, and people, let's say business people, celebrities, are given a special place. Not in the church. The church becomes a merger because its vision is focused on healing the nations, and that is the fruit of salvation. It's a clear church. So when we see Christ is seated, when we see Christ is seated, must position those two statements within their context. Is the sitting has to do with work of salvation having been concluded, or the sitting has to do with him being set in office for more engagement, more accomplishment, how be it through the church? Is it clear? Because he observed that when he used the word sitting and is dealing with the work of salvation, the atonement or remission of sins, the church is not described to be seated. But when the sitting has to do with being set for position to work for that, the church is mentioned. So in the book of Hebrews, you will see that. That is a sitting that only him does as the offering, just like Leviticus. But there's a sitting that he does also with the church. You don't mesh those two things. Is it clear? But definitely, the former is what bears the last. Have you been blessed this morning? Let's just stand on our feet. Give God praise for his salvation this morning. Let's give him praise. That daily by his word we're enabled to walk in his will. Just give him praise. As God's word is clearer and clearer and clearer. Clearer, 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 clearer.